Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Cooking Autism, our focus this morning. April Birch and Carrie George here from Cooking Autism. I feel like we're cousins.
Yeah.
And I live in Fredericksburg and you live in Bowie.
Yeah.
And our parents didn't want us getting together, and so we haven't seen each other.
Yeah.
It is just so good to see you guys again.
It really is, Ted. We always love coming out and talking with you.
Well, when we last talked, in April, you kind of did the research on this. It was in February. And we talked about the race and the big event that was going to be, and the community was going to come together, and then March happened.
Yes. The whole world kind of seems like it paused for a minute.
It did.
Yeah. It's coming back. It's coming back. But yes, it was February when we talked last.
Wow. To catch up, one of the things and I know in these months, as I have talked with schools, the area school superintendents, doesn't matter any of the school superintendents have been in, I have gotten texts or messages from families with students with autism in school wondering what's going to happen, and this has been a really tough time. I know, Carrie, you said you've been back in school from the start.
Right, I started back the first day of school
in Stafford County.
August 31st with a group of my kids. They started the year wearing masks. We had to do a little teaching and training as we go on, but they are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I have no issues with my children. They come in, they wear their masks, they wash their hands, they sanitize. They're fantastic. We were provided all sorts of, you know, safety material, masks and shields and gowns and all that fun stuff. But for the most part, I would say that it has been a real blessing to be back. My kids have thrived being back. I only have them 2 days a week currently, but we'll get them back, hopefully, adding some days on here in November. But it's a reduced day.
Yep.
It's hard on them, I will say, because they are in my classroom from the time they get there till they leave. We don't go anywhere. We don't go to the cafeteria. We do go out to the courtyard after kindergarten leaves, but that's it. And so it's long and hard on them some days. And we kind of hit a wall about 1 o'clock and they're like, I'm just done. So we do a lot of movement breaks. Go Noodle's our best friend in our classroom this year. It's fantastic. The progress, I didn't see really any regression either in my kids, which was
huge.
Totally amazing.
Yes.
I had kids come back reading that weren't reading when they left. I mean, it's just like, whoa. It's been great. I can't say enough for the support that I've gotten from families and everything else. So,
April, I'm thinking about you and Carrie coming this morning. I got to thinking there's just not much good to say about what's been going on all these months.
Tough.
But boy, I thought one of the things, thank goodness that Cooking Autism is here and that you've had a couple of years to put things together, because you have really helped as students go back, and just having you in school and having the program is terrific.
Yeah, it was tough. As soon as the world shut down, we had to figure out how we could continue on, how we could continue to support our area, because in the special needs community, it is super important not to disrupt schedules. And obviously, we all had disruptions, all of us. So I'm very thankful that we've had the support that we had over the last 3 years, so that we already kind of had a baseline of what we could work off of and move forward to helping our community members. And we did that several ways and continue to do so. But yeah, we are so thankful that we had a good foundation to build off of so that we could adapt to this pandemic, which is rough.
All summer long, and it might have even, I'm not sure when you started, but you did the celebrity cooking videos. you even asked me, and I felt like to make life cereal wasn't going to be that interesting, so I couldn't do it. But you did videos all summer that were very entertaining.
About a week after Stafford County called it, about a week after, within a few days of Stafford County calling it, I said, that's it. We've got to get on and we've got to cook. So we've got to figure out some sort of schedule so that our kiddos can see what we're doing and know that we're still there for them, because they're all isolated and they are all, we're all under in our houses and not going anywhere. And it was so important to us that our students around the area could still have that sense of community. So we started cooking. It was called the Daily Lunch Bunch. And we, I think we cooked
six days a week
yeah. for 6 weeks.
Yeah. They're always just popping
longer.
Up.
Longer.
Yes. we had, it was really, really, it was a lot of work. And my board members probably wanted to, at first they were all, we were all excited about it, but they probably are ready to strangle me after about 4 weeks into it. But everybody really rose up to helping cook. And then we had celebrity guests mm-hmm. that came on and cooked with us. I mean, Dee next door.
She did it.
Dee's dashingly delicious burger. Mm-hmm. Her and Megan did it together. And then we had like Joshua Cole, and we had Dr. Kisner and his wife. We had some really, really cool, amazing celebrities. And we just enjoyed doing it. So now we've grouped all of these cool videos together. We put them on our website so that they can be accessed anytime, just to give our teachers and our students some ideas of how to enjoy cooking at home virtually. And then there's things they can bring into the classroom as well.
Andrea Wright did, yes. Didn't she? Because she, yeah. she was just hilarious.
She's so funny. I watched
it just for the comedy. I didn't even pay attention to what she made.
But that's Andrea.
She's very funny.
Yes. And so it really was. But no, every day around lunchtime, it would just pop up mm-hmm. on Facebook.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun, a lot of work. And then we had to figure out how to be high tech,
That was the hardest part.
We had to adapt to no longer using our phones. We had to figure out, okay, what does the lighting look like, and how do I streamline this from a 20-minute conversation down to 5?
Yeah.
It took some adapting, but we did very well.
April went high tech. I had my laptop set up, and that's all I used. Mine was as low tech as it comes, and half the time it didn't work. So,
no, she did great. She had these. She had this recipe that had animal faces on it. It's one of my favorites. Carrie did animal faces, and there was like a fox and a fish, and you would make animal faces out of toast and strawberries and peanut butter and Nutella. It was amazing. One of my favorites. You got to check it out. Animal face toast.
Again, if you go to cookingautism.org, you can find them all. But no, the fact that you all were there and you kept it up and you kept doing things, I think was a great encouragement to parents.
It was important for us to be able to give back to our community. And that was one of the ways we could at that time reach our community to help provide a little bit of consistency or, you know, the same
Something scheduled every day.
And Carrie, I'm sure for you as a classroom teacher, were just concerned about your students. You weren't seeing them. You didn't know how they were doing.
Yeah. One of the biggest things we always look forward to in April is Dreamcatchers Day, which is just an event that we celebrate our kids. And it was really sad that we couldn't be together for Dreamcatchers Day. But my paras, my staff, our kids all rose to the occasion, and we did a virtual Dreamcatchers Day this year. We did shirts, and I sent them all shirts, and then
bubbles.
And so they had to take a video of them outside playing with bubbles and send it to me. And then we made a big collage of all of our kids. And so that was fun. Seeing our kids learn how to navigate the digital world as well, with devices, you know, logging into Google Meets was amazing, and that they are all pros at it now.
Yes.
But, the first couple of times, you need to mute. It's that button right here. You know, just teaching them how to do that was fantastic. And we couldn't have done it without, we had amazing parent support. There is no way on earth that any of this could have happened. The virtual stuff, the meets that we had, any of it, the support that we got from our parents was fantastic.
Yep.
They sacrificed their time and energy to ensure their kids were meeting with us.
So. I know you were a great encouragement to everybody, and it was this group that was there was so much concern.
About special ed.
Yeah,
and there still is, but that is one of the reasons why a majority of the superintendents in the areas have decided that these children, our special ed children, needed to be back, as much as they could be back, to have that face-to-face teaching. And that was the right decision. I think it was the right decision for the superintendents to allow that.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you.
CookingAutism.org, the website. April Birch, Carrie George here this morning. We're going to take a quick break and continue on. Lots to cover. You've got a lot of news, and we're going to get through a lot in the next 45 minutes or so. And we'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We are talking Cooking Autism this morning with April Birch and Carrie George. I have not seen you, either of you, and done anything. It's like coming back from summer break, and
right.
You've both grown. You know, you've like grown a foot, and I don't recognize you.
Pandemic pounds.
Well, that is an issue.
That is an issue.
In the last segment, we're talking about a lot of the special ed kids that are back in school, but I know, Carrie, that some families have decided to go all virtual.
Right, and, you know, it works for them. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy because, again, the parents are having to assume the role of the paraprofessional should their child need that. They're having to ensure that their kids are in meets when they need to be. However, the kids have risen to the occasion, and most of them, like I said, have done very well. And the kids that I have that are virtual are very tech savvy and enjoy that kind of environment. Mm-hmm. But you know it's overwhelming, this kind of environment, when kids are like, I just don't want any more computer today.
Yeah.
You know, these are kids that were living for the computer.
Yeah.
And, you know, now they're like, I'm done. I'm just done. I don't want any more. Can I just go play outside or do something else?
Yeah.
So it's tough on all of our kids. But I would say that the virtual kids, the connection is still there. I try to meet with them every single day and keep that kind of connection going.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm hoping to get some virtual lunch bunches going in a couple of weeks. Not to the extent that we were doing it in the summertime, but just where we all sit down together with a computer maybe and eat lunch,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Something.
Some sort of bonding, yeah. My both of my children are virtual currently, and I didn't know how successful they would be. I was actually very scared about how is this going to work, because both of my children need that support. They need a lot of help.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny has done amazing. He's the fourth grader. His teachers have been extremely kind and patient, but he's really, really doing well. And it's amazing. And he's kind of, I didn't know he was tech savvy, and now he's learned to be tech savvy. I should never underestimate our children, especially our community members with autism, because they will surprise you. Underestimate them, and they will surprise you, and just
every time.
That's interesting.
Yes, and we don't know what we don't know, and I just didn't know if my children were going to adapt well to the virtual learning, but they have. They've done so well, and I want to say that a lot of that is the. They get a lot of great feedback from their teachers. And my children, I'm not all children, but my children do very well when they know that they are being seen, heard, and loved. Mm-hmm. So they've really blossomed. And I just, it's interesting, because I never would have thought that would have been okay for two beautiful, amazing special ed kiddos. But they're doing very well.
That's so interesting. I mean, there's so many things that... It's just so easy just to look at all the things that have been taken away.
Yes.
But to see this and to hear that, those kind of stories from both of you, we are learning a lot of things, and some good will come out of this.
Yes, I really feel like this was a terrible situation, but I believe that our community and our community members have risen up, and they've reacted very well to it, and they've moved forward, and to the point where... 10 years from now, we're going to see, man, we grew a lot, and we continue to grow. So we've got to see the silver lining in all of it. And it's not always going to be like this, but we've found that this we've had to mm-hmm. adapt, and then that will continually push for better things in the future.
I can't tell you how many times, either on this show or just having conversations with people in the community, where people have talked about, you know, how as far as education goes, how students will be so far behind. But for you to say that is hope that maybe not.
Right. I don't think so.
I think there's going to be good stuff that comes out of this. I really do. I think so. I think I agree with April. I feel like that teachers as well as families have risen to the occasion. Yes, mm-hmm. there's been hiccups along the way, but I feel like that overall we've learned so much about our population, about the resiliency of them, and just their ability to bounce back and demonstrate something new in a different way. It's amazing.
Right. It's not easy. It's not easy for the parents, the teachers, the students. It's not easy. But what we're seeing now, in my opinion, is that we're seeing children do things that we elementary school students do things that we didn't think that some college students could do. They are accessing these platforms that college students were doing, and they're doing just fine. So we might see education take a little bit more of a technical turn mm-hmm. because of COVID. And I think that's great. I think it's great that we are giving our children the opportunity to adapt and grow to these things.
One of the things is talking about adapting and growing and coming up with things. April, tell me about the sensory support campaign that was started this summer. This is through the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board.
Yes, they had an emergency relief fund, and we applied for it because what we saw in our area is, especially immediately following COVID, the shutdown, we saw a lot of children that were really struggling because they didn't have their schedule anymore. So they needed things like trampolines and swings and body hugs or body socks, things like, I mean, even small things like Play-Doh and sensory sand, things that could help them calm down and feel a little better, because there's so much anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety and a lot of that comes with our community members mm-hmm. when they're pushed out of their schedule. So they as soon as COVID shut down, we applied for this grant from the Rappahannock Area Community Service Board, and they gave us a grant so that we could be able to provide these items for families in the area. So we put it out there, and we were able to provide several rounds of help to a lot of family members in the area that needed that sensory support items for their children. And it was very successful. We got a lot of great feedback from it, and we are thankful that we had the funds to be able to do that. And it was amazing.
But again, seeing a need and being able to having funds like that available to provide something like that. And the fact that you were here to be able to do it, that's the great thing.
That's true. Thank you. Yeah, I am very thankful. I didn't even think about that, Ted, and you really brought it up. But I'm thankful that we really had the last 3 years to build a foundation.
To get ready for this.
Yes.
None of us saw this. This was
no.
If I had said to you in February, well, you know what? If ever we have a pandemic, you guys are going to – we're well positioned for it.
Right. What pandemic? What is that?
I used to joke with my husband that I wish I had a job I could work from home, you know, blah, 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 blah. As a teacher, you know, you're never going to get to work from home. And then literally, you know.
So many working from home. Yeah.
No, I got to thinking about this yesterday, knowing that you guys were coming in. And I just thought all these programs that we have talked about and we've talked about, you know, as you have continued to grow – and wow, you know, the fact, because if this had been 3 years ago and you were just starting, it would have been like, we're going to have to put this on hold and we'll start it up in a couple of years.
And that was our heart when everything shut down, was we needed to continue, because even now, more than ever, our children needed to learn life skills and learn how to take care of themselves and learn how to wash their hands and how to eat properly. It's more important even now with a pandemic than it was, not to say it wasn't important 6 months ago or, you know, 8 months ago, but now it's even more important, and that we have that support out there. So,
right. And we had parents that were working from home, and, you know, they were there for their children, but they were working from home.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
a lot of these kids were kind of, you know, had to do a lot of things for themselves for the first time that were not everything, but, you know, they had to start stepping up. And, you know,
helping out.
I mean, I remember, I first met you. The first event I saw with you two was when you did the cooking demonstration. It was the Autism Awareness Day in Stafford.
Oh, yeah.
That one. That was the very first video that I did with you.
The pudding in a cup, or dirt pudding.
Dirt pudding,
yes.
Yeah.
But I thought there's something that gives parents an idea. And then you mm-hmm. did Autism Awareness Day in Spotsylvania and
kind of
reached out there. Mm-hmm. And so you had just started, you were reaching out and getting out. So
yeah, that was
all timing.
It really is. And our educators, I say cooking autism, this cooking autism, that, but our board members are a team of amazing educators mm-hmm. and they're the ones that really set this foundation 8-9 years ago. And so we have taken this great program and adapted it and moved it into being able to give to our community instead of just one school. But, boy, we've had a really good time experiencing and getting to grow inside of the community. It has been fantastic. Fantastic.
And as this continues, as things start opening up and you can do more and more, I mean, it's just going to be, it's exciting.
I say this all the time, but we found that there was a need and then our community helped us meet that need. And then the need grows and our community comes back and helps more. So every time we feel like we need a little bit of help, the community comes and provides that help for us, including the Rappahannock Area Community Service Board. When we said, hey, we need funds to help our kiddos with sensory supports, they came back and said, yes, we'll help. So that we have an amazing community.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some events and just how the community can continue to get involved and help cooking autism. April Birch and Carrie George here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:29.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We are talking about cooking autism this morning. Cookingautism.org, the website. There's also a great Facebook page that will get you all up to date on just really the great stuff that Cooking Autism is doing. Carrie George and April Birch here. When we last talked in this studio, we were talking about the race toward autism acceptance, mm-hmm. and you just had that. That's when I ran into you all just a couple Sundays ago.
Yes, it was originally set for March, and we rescheduled it, and I really thought, hey, man, October.
We'll be back to normal.
Everything will be back to normal. No big deal. Well, as it got closer and closer, I started thinking, oh man, we're not back to normal yet. So we got with the city of Fredericksburg, and they had, I think like a 17, or it was a pretty long paper that you had to go through and abide by their rules and by the CDC guidelines. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy to see this because that meant that our community was working together to make sure that we could have these sort of events. So we still did it. Everybody wore their masks. Everybody socially distanced. We had vendors out there and they were all about 20 feet apart.
Yeah.
We had wonderful games out there. We had a DJ. It was fantastic. It was so good to see our autism community be celebrated in this manner. And then we had, of course, along with the festival, we had the race where we had, I think, 20 to 40 people in each heat.
Yeah, the heats. Yeah. It was run very well.
That was Bishop's Events. That was all them. They did an amazing job of setting that up, but it kept everybody socially distanced. And it was amazing to see people really cared to be out there and they really wanted to help take care of each other and they wore their masks and they did the right things so that we could enjoy a fantastic event and do it safely.
I didn't know what to expect. I just thought when I pulled up and driving there, I just thought this will be so sad. I pull into the parking lot and there's like five cars.
It was packed.
And it was packed. Yeah. I had a hard time finding a parking place.
But because that park is so huge, it was Old Mill Park. It really can hold probably thousands of people, and we didn't have thousands of people, but it is such a big park that it really gave us the availability to stay socially distanced. So it was a lot of fun, and it helped us raise quite a bit of money. Almost $31,000 we raised because of this one event, and that money is being already used for some really great children and really great programs.
We also had the availability for some of our racers went virtual.
Oh, yes.
So that made it easier for people that, you know, just, hey, I'm going to go ahead and do this, but I'm just going to do it in my neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know. And so we had a lot of our racers that did that.
Yes, and that would be, I'm so thankful that they did. If people didn't feel comfortable coming out, I'm so glad that they still celebrated this event by doing it virtually. And we had a huge response to that. And it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun,
either virtually or in person. It was a huge event.
Just to see people again, just to do things. And the way you did the race, I just thought, I saw that race, and the Y announced this week that they're going to do the turkey trot, because I thought, I watched how you pulled that off with your race, and I thought that day there's no reason why on Thanksgiving the turkey trot can't take place.
As long as the community members, they pull together to do the right thing and behave appropriately, then it's a great event. And I think a turkey trot around this time of year would be great. It's really nice to have people kind of have some sort of normalcy, I guess you could say.
Something to look forward to.
So what about 2021 for the event of Autism Acceptance?
We're gonna do another race, which is super exciting. Because we originally said the first one set for last March, and it got rescheduled. We'd like to put this one in April, because April is our Autism Awareness Month, and we feel like that is so important for our community to be celebrated, especially during Autism Awareness Month. So on April 10th, we're going to have another race. This will be considered our second annual race. Another race towards autism acceptance. We're going to do a virtual and in person again. And it's going to be at the same location, same times and everything. And we're going to set it up pretty similar. We learned some things that we could do better at the previous race. So we're going to make it even better at the upcoming race. But yeah, I'm super excited about it. I'm really happy to celebrate our community in this way, and we're hoping to do it annually.
April 10th, and I have been with you through the hall, the planning. I remember after one show, you both said to me, we've heard about the races are real popular. What do you think? And so to see it actually happen that day was really exciting. You've got another fundraiser though next spring too, in March, right?
Yes, we do. So this is the first time we're announcing this. So congratulations, Ted. Thank you so much for letting us be here so we can announce
this. Telling people will announce their things elsewhere, and I'll say to them, why did you do that?
No, come to Ted.
Thank you.
So we are partnering with three other amazing local nonprofits: the Rappahannock Area YMCA, Ecumenical Ministries, and then G3 Community Services. And we are going to partner with these three amazing nonprofits. And what we're doing here is we've had a generous donation from Tim from Pohanka Nissan of Fredericksburg. Mm-hmm. And he is going to help us, the four of us nonprofits, purchase a car and then raffle it off. So we have a Nissan Kicks that we are raffling to help raise money and support for all four of our nonprofits.
Yeah.
And it's super exciting because it's going to be around the whole area. We're going to do a big celebration. We have a big event coming up, and it's going to be the second weekend of March. And it's super exciting. We won't start selling raffle tickets until January. But as soon as we do, we'll come back on so we can tell everybody about it.
That's exciting stuff.
That is exciting. And we're always thankful to Tim from Pohanka Nissan of Fredericksburg.
I was going to say, boy, he from the start, he has been your biggest cheerleader.
I mean, we just adore him and his whole Pohanka Nissan. Mm-hmm. They have always just really helped us. From before we were cooking autism.
These kind of events and the money you're able to raise, you're able to do the things that you do, the scholarships, the things that go on in the classroom are because of these events.
Yes. Earlier I was talking about how we had a need and our community came to help us. This is one of those things. We have a need currently to provide for next year, for 2021, and this will help us to provide more classrooms, more grants, more scholarships and more things like sensory support items to our amazing community members. So yes, this will hopefully help us and the other nonprofits gain support so that we can continue what we're doing.
Yeah, and this event, and as it gets closer, we'll talk much more about it, but just to see, so often every nonprofit does things themselves. This is our event, and you're teaming
partnering.
Up with others. Yeah, partnering.
I think just like any small business or business, it's important to have connections with other businesses, and nonprofits is the same thing. You really want to be able to have that community and connection, because we all help each other out in some way or the other. So, and these are amazing nonprofits to be partnering with.
But in Carrie, I think of you again as the classroom teacher in all of this. But I say this to you, I think probably every time I could go back to every interview and every show you've been on, I'll say to you, could you have imagined?
Never.
This has spread from what it was just in a few classrooms in Stafford not that many years ago.
Right. It is amazing to think that it was basically just 3 short years ago that you won the car.
But 7-8 years ago that somebody stole a piece of food off of a teacher's plate.
Oh yeah.
Then you guys started this really cool
thing.
But
you know, cooking has always been it's been in a lot of programs, and I think it was new to Stafford County 6 to 7 years ago. It wasn't so much something that was done regularly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, making it a regular event in our class. Unfortunately, right now, we're not cooking yet. Hopefully, in the next couple of months, that's something that we can bring back in. It'll have to be a little different. We've talked about ways that we can help our families, you know, maybe do recipe packets and send all the stuff home and that kind of stuff. But we haven't gotten there yet. It's coming, but it's not yet.
Carrie and Donna and Amy really did and Andrea and pre-K really did the educational part of all of this and wrapping it all together and making it the most resourceful educational tool. And they have done a phenomenal job. And I can't even imagine 6 or 7 years ago starting this from scratch. And now it being impacting 436 children because of something you guys started.
We were bringing in crock pots, you know, dragging in a mixer to school, you know.
Finding out.
Going to the grocery store saying, okay, this costs this much, but buying the cheapest we can find,
yeah.
You know.
See?
It has. It has made a big difference all the way around. I mean, we were the first to benefit from it in our program, but...
Yeah,
it's nice to see it spread to other
436 children for an entire year this year. That's huge.
436.
And yep. Wow. And we have just got another application in for another 50.
Wow.
So because of something Carrie George and a team of amazing educators started.
Well, Carrie George, I don't think I have. Have I ever heard the story about a cookie being or a piece of food being stolen from a teacher's plate?
Well, it actually wasn't my classroom. I had, and Amy Allen is on the board and she's my co-teacher now. But previously there was another teacher in the building, Cynthia Fairley. And she had a student steal something off of her plate. And
okay.
So it kind of started there. And we were like, whoo, that's a great idea. And so we started each of us cooking separately, but then we're like, no, we need to meld this together. And we melded it together and it grew. And then when Amy came in, and Donna's like, wait a minute, there's so much more that we can do with this. And so that's when we started, you know, looking at the different, the math activities, the social activities, the just tasting new things kind of stuff. It all kind of just blended together amazingly. So
that
will
be
say that it's grown with Donna and Amy, and yeah, it's been phenomenal.
This is when this is a movie someday, and we're doing this show from the red carpet. We need to find we need to get a script writer to start putting all of this together, because I'd never heard that story.
That's where it began.
Mm-hmm. I am so glad you mentioned that, April.
Look at that.
I had no idea. I just thought this was just something in the classroom that you developed. So before we take a break, every year or the last few years, Pohanka has done the Christmas trees.
Yes.
For nonprofits. I'm sure that has to look different this year.
Yes. So they have done an amazing job. They're going to do this as a virtual Christmas Tree Challenge. They're going to have a virtual gala, probably pretty similar to what we saw with Fairy Godmother Project, a virtual gala and with fundraisers. And it's going to be fantastic. We, Cooking Autism, has never had a sponsor for their Christmas tree until this year. And we're super excited that it's Fauquier's Finest Custom Meat Processing. It's actually the... a family member of one of an amazing
one of our grant recipients.
Yeah, so there's kind of a full circle there, but I cannot explain and tell you how excited I am about this Christmas tree because it's so cool. And it's,
you're just like a little kid.
I know I am. I get so excited about the little things, but it's going to be so cool. And it's definitely appropriate for this year. That's all I can say. That's my one clue. It's appropriate for this year.
Okay. You always have had good trees, though. I mean, your trees, and you go every, when you could go there. I mean, you were there every day.
Yes, I was. I just I love being a part of the community, and our community always comes out and enjoys these sort of things. Last year we had a upside down tree, and the year before that it was a rotating tree with a big like. Frame that was made by another community member, and it's been so cool seeing our community get involved with it. But yes, I'm really looking forward to the 2020 Pohanka Nissan Christmas Tree Challenge this year.
And that's like early December or into November.
Yes, I believe it's December 12th.
Okay.
December 12th. Yep, and it's going to be all online. So if you can't. Some people couldn't make it in that time frame.
Yeah.
So this is great. You can be online. You can be in your pajamas with a glass of bubbly and enjoying a really great event for a lot of, not only just Cooking Autism, but I believe there's going to be 14 or 15 other nonprofits in the area that'll be participating.
CookingAutism.org, again, is the website. Carrie George and April Birch here this morning. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Cooking Autism this morning. April Birch and Carrie George here. I'm really kind of sad. The hour is gone. I just wish we could just keep going. It does. Couple of things before we get out of here. We've talked about partnerships a lot, April, through all of this. And you had another partnership, a different kind of partnership that Cooking Autism got involved with.
So a previous special education teacher, her name was Nicole Short, and Carrie's worked with her for many years. She has moved over to being an amazing – she works with the Choice Group, which is an amazing group that helps special needs, is that correct, Carrie? Yep. I'm saying this.
Community members with challenges and disabilities.
There you go.
To gain employment.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So they work with training. They do. My son was actually involved in this a year or so ago, and they provide different opportunities to, like, test out jobs. Like, go to, I don't know, I think one of them was Gabe's, and you shadow an employee for a little bit, see if you kind of like that. A grocery store, restaurant. I think he did food service at Mary Washington. There's different things that they can do, and they bring you in and let you kind of test the waters for a job. And if you find one you like, then they help provide training to that student or individual.
Yes.
And it's a fantastic program, and I'm super happy that Nicole is working with them.
Me too.
She is such an advocate for our different ability people, and she's going to do fantastic. And so she's working with us
to help. Well, she's helping to find resources for her clients, and at the same time, what she's running into right now is that a lot of her normal places that she could go to for support, they're not accepting this sort of support right now. So she reached out to Stafford Food Security. They are helping her, and then Cooking Autism, she reached out to us, and boy, have we utilized them. We've had probably five or six of their clients come in and volunteer for us, and they're amazing. There was this one gentleman that came in, and he did some of our social media advertising for us. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and it all I had to say is, this is what I need to have done, and he took off and ran with that. We had another couple of clients come in and work in our office, and then a few more help us with inventory. It mm-hmm. has been absolutely amazing. And not only are they helping us, but we're able to help them by giving them ideas and resources, and they can do assessments to find out what they like and what they don't like. I actually heard one of the clients say, yep, I didn't like this at all. This was not what I enjoyed, sitting down and counting money for an hour and a half. That's not something that I would enjoy. But maybe I did enjoy the part where I was standing up and stuffing envelopes, but I didn't really enjoy counting money.
That's what you want to learn.
Yes. So these are important skills and important things they're figuring out. And Nicole has done an amazing job finding these resources and so that these young adults can figure out maybe what they might like to do following. But yeah, it's been an amazing partnership there.
Well, you two are amazing, and Cooking Autism is amazing. And if someone is hearing this, and maybe even for the first time, and, and realizing, I mean, there are a lot of needs you've talked about, and if someone does want to provide financial help and get involved financially, whether it's monthly or however, how would you go to the website?
Yes, cookingautism.org, or you can email info@cookingautism.org. Especially during this time, it's not easy for people to give, but we appreciate every support that we can. We also have volunteer opportunities. If you're not able to give, we love volunteers, because it definitely takes a village to be able to run a nonprofit, especially one that has grown so quickly over the last 3 years. So at cookingautism.org.
And if someone can help out, because I think of like last spring, I mean, you've had bingo nights. You've done these bingo nights that have been just great. And at least for, you know, probably this next year, you won't be able to do the same kind of thing.
Our normal fundraisers, which was the amazing bingo nights and the Chipotle nights and the Texas Roadhouses, we can't do those right now, unfortunately. But we are very excited to be able to continue with our other fundraisers. But yes, we love support. I'm sure, just like many of the nonprofits in the area, we are impacted by the pandemic. But silver lining, we've been able to continue to help so far. It's the future that we're building for now.
Yeah, and again, it's usually in the spring when you start doing the scholarships and in awarding those. So anything a person can give right now that can help you along, we'll help you for that.
Yes. We're going to open up possibly in December another round of grants and scholarships. So we always could use support so that we can continue to support our community in our local area.
CookingAutism.org. Again, the website. Also go to Facebook to find out information. Both great resources. April Birch and Carrie George, great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon, and
pick
this back up. I have missed you, but you've been involved in the community, and that's great to see.
Thank you.
A lot of good information. CookingAutism.org, April Birch and Carrie George. Thank you for listening. We'll see you Monday morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.